Mayor, I thank you for letting me come back again. Mr. Gray, in order to thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, to come here as city council members and residents of the town of Cary Beach to do business, to make this town a better and safer place. In order to ask now that you lay your hand on everything that's done here tonight, make sure that it glorifies this town and also glorifies you. And ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We all please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We had a consent agenda. Now, Emily, you said you wanted to discuss something?
Yes, the issue about a donation to the Disability Resource Center, I would like to move that under new items.
Number three?
Number three.
Sure.
Okay.
And Nancy, on the change in the minutes, you've taken care of that and we don't have to, okay, that's fine.
Taking care of what? Number two, getting removed?
No. Oh, it was just a question I had, but she's already.
So we're going to move number three to number five under new business?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Three to number five.
Okay. And number two in the consent agenda, I would like that removed. Ms. Swearingen said that she has been paying for this herself, and we inadvertently got a bill for it. So.
Okay.
Do I have a motion?
So I'll make a motion. We remove number two. We remove number three to new business.
You have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Make a motion. We approve the amended consent agenda items.
Have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right. Adoption of the agenda.
Make a motion we adopt the agenda with the addition of number five under new business.
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Oh. That went a little fast.
Sorry. What do you want to say?
Is it possible to revise your or ask for an amendment to yours? Because at the end, I would like to give an update on some of the bills that are before the legislature.
I think there's commissioner items already on there. It's already on there.
Yeah,
no, so just do that automatically.
Yeah, you can do it, commissioner items.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're that.
Good. Yes, sir.
Okay, discussion and considerations of persons to address council, and we have Calvin Peck, the manager of Ballhead Island.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. I will tell you, it's good to be in Cary Beach again. I would ask you today to consider passing a resolution in opposition to North Carolina General Assembly's proposal, which is in House Bill 97, to remove the historic 1897 New England Dam. It is not the same portion of the New England Dam that is later on your agenda. It is the southern portion of the New England Dam. On page 220 of a 500-something page budget, the General Assembly finds that the southern component of the New Inlet Dam impedes the natural flow of water between the Cape Fear River and the Atlantic Ocean. In addition, they further find that it's necessary to remove the southern component of the New Inlet Dam in order to reestablish the natural hydrodynamic flow. So they're doing this under the environmental section of the budget for environmental and water quality reasons, and it's just poppycock. It's not true. You have before you a white paper from our engineer that says that what will happen if that dam is removed is the same thing that happened that caused in the 1800s that caused the Corps of Engineers to close New England in the first place, which was it will silt in the Cape Fear River. That's what's going to happen, and it'll stop the natural flow of sand from north to south, thus affecting Baldwin Island. That's why I'm here now. I could say a lot about it, but maybe the best person to speak on it is Representative Rick Catlin. He's an engineer, used to be an NC Byway member, Ports, Waterway, and Beach Commission chair, I think, for a number of years. He testified before the House Budget Subcommittee on the Environment, which is where this section is housed, and laid out, agreed with the white paper prepared by our engineer, talked about the problems that would be created, and his view is that it would, the removal of the dam would destroy the Port of Wonderland. I don't know why. I wish I could tell you why it is that this proposal managed to get into the budget. I don't know why. I have my suspicions, but I don't know why, because I've not been able to speak to the sponsor about it. But I would ask you to put it on your agenda to discuss it and do that which your fellow municipalities to the north, the south, and west have done, and that is rise in opposition to this portion of the Senate's budget. It is not currently in the House version, and that's the reason I'm here today. The time is ripe. Members are being appointed to those conference committees for the budget, and now's the time to rise in opposition. If you wait till August, it would be too late.
Calvin?
Happy to answer any questions.
What's the difference between Corn Cake Inlet and New Inlet?
I don't know. I know that there are two portions of the dam. It may be that they're called two different things, but there is a northern portion of the dam, which is down here and touches Federal Point, is one way to look at it, and goes south to Zeke's Island. And then on the other end of Zeke's Island is where New Inlet, the second portion of the dam, and that's the portion that is, if this passes, scheduled for removal.
Okay, maybe the inlet called two different names, because I understood Corn Cake was on the other side of Zeke's Island.
It was. Corn Cake closed up after Hurricane Fran and Bertha.
Okay.
Different inlet. New Inlet, it was specifically closed in the 1870s, I believe, by the Corps of Engineers.
Okay, so is there a possibility, if it's taken down, both inlets could open back up?
Potentially, I don't know.
I think they're both the same, actually. So the New Inlet was gone. Corn Cake was much smaller. It has been closed. It got closed by Fran, but before that, it was shoaling on its own.
Yeah.
It was a free flow inlet for that tidal basin, but it was not really navigable except by a small boat.
With a big motor.
Yeah, with a big motor at high speed. So, but I think it's in the physical same location. They never both existed at the same time.
Okay.
So they could be 100 yards north or south where New Inlet was in the 1800s, but it's for all purposes the same place.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So existed
as historian.
New Inlet existed and was used by blockade runners.
That's right.
Which is where the Raleigh went aground, trying to make it out of the.
So in the budget that I read, and I haven't kept track of it because I looked at it last month when this sort of came up. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say anything about actually opening the inlet. It just is removing the dam. And the White River says that they think the next thing that will happen is that actually that inlet will open. Is that kind of the deal? Because in the budget that I saw, it wasn't open. There was nothing to open in the inlet itself. It was more about just removing the dam.
The article eight of the chapter, I can't find that right now because it's been moved out of the other. But they're directed to hire a company, and remove the dam, and the purpose is, stated purpose is to recreate the hydrodynamic flow of water from the Atlantic Ocean to the river. The only way to do that is if the inlet opens.
Right.
The inlet will open to a certain extent, and some water will move back and forth.
Right. Calvin, have you talked to Senator Rabin or Senator Lee about what they had in mind?
We have not been able to speak to Senator Lee, who is the major sponsor.
Okay.
We have attempted unsuccessfully.
Okay. All right. Thank you. The next person to address council is Luke, and I can't read your last name.
I'll reserve my comment for the discussion.
Okay, Stuart, didn't you like to come up?
Same here.
Okay, when we get to the area. All right, thanks.
He said we don't need to wait. We need to talk about it. We'll talk about the commissioner. Okay. Action of the commissioner.
Board of Adjustment. No one here. Community Center. Marketing Committee. Parks and Recreation. Planning and Zoning.
Craig Galbraith, Chairman of the P&Z Commission. First item on the agenda, I have to admit, we didn't put there. Decision regarding cost of relocating sewer lines. I don't have a comment.
Good, okay. So can I, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Address that one. So I wasn't sure how it got where it was, but we didn't move it. So we've got a request from the CB developer for an expense of relocating a town sewer line. I talked with the public works director about this. So our sewer line was in their easement. We believe, at least between Sonny and I, that we would have spent some money moving that. My concern a little bit, and council, we need to talk about this, is the work was done without us participating, as I think we should at the beginning. Sonny sent a memo to all of you, which is in your packet, recommending that, yes, we believe the town would have had to do something about that line. Because we didn't look at it fully as a project, we don't know how much we would have spent. Because the process wasn't followed, I think it's reasonable and fair for the town to participate. And Sonny's recommendation to council, which I encourage the council to follow, is to pay for half, so for $8,000. And I'll be glad to make that a motion after discussion. So if anybody has any questions for Sonny, or I think CBU is here, I'm not sure yet. So they are here if we have questions for them.
Stuart, do you want to say anything about this?
I was just going to say that we would be happy with a credit towards building permits or other fees that we're getting from the permits anyway.
Okay, that's a great way to do it.
That helps.
As well.
Will that be hard for you to keep up with those credits?
No, I mean, I can still do that accounting-wise. I mean, we still look at, like, we had the revenue for the building permits and then offset the
credits. Right. Okay. And so kind of Molly point to the team, right? We're very supportive of your project, but please make sure that we follow the process. I know you guys want to go fast because you want to start recouping your money. I certainly understand that. We'll be as fast as you guys need us to, right? If Sonny needs council permission, he can poll us and we can do something. But we don't like to spend public money without approving it, right?
Yeah,
so I don't want to be after the fact again if we can help out, right? So Anything else from council?
Could I ask, do you have any buyers in the wings yet for those units?
No, I have a lot of interest, but nothing in the company.
Okay, this is strictly out here. There is a bill in this year to the legislatures exempting builders on their inventory up to 3 years for residential units. I assume you're familiar with that. It has passed the House and it's in the Senate Finance Committee, and it looks like it may be fairly successful. But like in your case, after you finish, if you have the inventory that stays on the books up to 3 years, we may not get property tax, and the county won't get property tax either while those buildings remain vacant. And I'm a little concerned that if this bill passes, we may be losing a lot of money over the next few years, while at the same time appropriating money to help you out, almost as an incentive kind of thing. And just wanted to voice that concern. I don't know how we would, you know, weigh both of them, because you could end up selling them as soon as you start putting them up. and let's hope that happens.
Yeah, let's hope
that happens.
But
we're going to sit with him for 3 years.
Yeah,
but he pays a mortgage for 3 years, he's going to be in trouble.
Right. Yeah. You know, if you don't, then we stand to lose a lot of money, and that I just wanted to voice my concern on.
I would imagine they would still tax you on the land, though, right?
Yes, you'd still be taxed on the land, but you wouldn't be taxed on any improvements.
I've not heard about that.
Yeah.
Any other questions from council?
No.
So I'll make a motion. We direct the our finance manager to work with Seaview Development to resolve the $8,000 issue as in the best interest of the town and the development. If you do it with fees, that's fine. If we write him a check, however, that's my motion.
I second. Unless there's discussion, we've already talked about it.
I think it should be one or the other. I shouldn't it be a suggestion for either one, and I'd rather see it as fees rather than paying up front and maybe they go under.
I think we have a great finance department head that can manage it in the best interest of the town. That's why I gave you the flexibility in the motion.
Well, I personally would like to see it deducted from the fees.
Thank you.
And we can easily.
Well, no one seconded yet, so.
He did. I did. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Very good.
Thank you.
Next item is the final plat for the Seaview subdivision. And according to town ordinance, we have a checklist that a number of people have to go through in terms of looking at the subdivision. P&Z went through the checklist in detail at our last meeting, and we recommended approval of this with one condition. I believe it was on item 11. Because what we did find is that I believe it's item 11 that said that there had to be identification of the building structures on the adjacent properties. There was not at that particular time, so we recommended approval subject to that condition being met, just to push it forward to the council meeting tonight. I did look at Mr. Babson. Babson has a copy that looks like they did put that in place. Mm-hmm. But again, we recommend approval of that subject to that particular condition having been met. And with that, I guess I'll turn it over if there's any questions to Mr. Babson.
Any questions for me?
What's your recommendation?
I think it's ready to go. It's gone through D&D twice. It's been through council once. I reviewed everything multiple times. I believe the public works director is satisfied with the construction and improvements. And in my opinion, I believe this is ready for development.
Okay. Motion we approve the final plan.
I got two questions right. First, Greg. So one, can you please work with the public works director on the line that was abandoned or removed so we can get our maps updated for the change? Right? Yeah. Since the sewer line moved, we'd like to make sure it gets right. Number two, note four on your on the drawing, which is, if I get back far enough, it looks like 3 of 7. I think the notes are the same. Trash collection by a contract with a private company. I've talked with the public works director. He is fine with that as a strategy. However, I don't know that the town has any way now that we let people not be charged for trash in our ordinance. So every property owner that has a building is charged for water, sewer, trash, recycling. Is there anything else that I left off, Nancy?
Stormwater.
Thank you. I just want to make you sure you're aware of that.
Does the town do any trash collection of the dumpster trash, or does it have to be just the town?
Everything's by can, because that's how our trucks are built, right? So I just bring that up for your consideration and think about how you want to deal with that, right? If you want to come back to council, I think the first thing will be talk with Mr. Beaker and maybe our finance director as well, if you want to request something. I don't know what I'd request, but right now, I just want you aware that you would be charged trash fees just like every other citizen of Curie Beach.
Thank you.
No, that's all my questions.
I make a motion to approve the final plat for the Seaview subdivision.
Second.
I have a second. Second by Emily.
We need to read it this way? Yes, please. Excellent. Right. So I'll add to your motion, amend your motion.
All right.
Town Council consistently stated for approval of final plat for Seaview Development, North Carolina General Statute 160A-383. It's in front of you, Commissioners. This recommendation is consistent with the objectives and policies of the Town of Curie Beach Land Use Plan, Part 2, Section 2, Policies for Growth and Development, particularly Subsection 43, Subdivision Regulations Concerning Infrastructure, adopted by Town Council September 27, 2006, and adopted and certified by the Coastal Resources Commission November 17, 2006. This recommendation is consistent with Chapter 19 Zoning Regulations of the Town of Curie Beach Code of Ordinances. The Town Council considers this recommendation to be reasonable and in the public interest based on the Section 76 of the Land Use Plan that reads as follows. The Town policy is to encourage future growth according to the land use regulations in place. It is the intention of Town officials that development impacts on the environment be negligible and that the impacts of all development take into consideration those factors which will enhance the quiet, small town character and quality of life enjoyed by residents and seasonal visitors. The Town Council believes this subdivision to comply with Section 76 governing future growth, adopted by Town Council July 22nd, 2015. That's my full motion.
And it says second. I'll second that. I forgot.
There you go. Good.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tony, Shoreline Access and Beach Protection and Parking Committee.
In front of you, you should have a picture of the sign.
Yes.
This is where the parking lot used to be, the corral. So, of course, it's about $125. And, excuse me, $112.35. So, I need a motion so I can go ahead and order this sign.
Tony, what's the size of that sign?
This sign is 24 by 30.
24 by 30, and it's been looked at by the police department?
Yes. Chief Cooper said it was fine by me. And if you read it, it's for public parking, and then it describes, if you go in with a boat or a trailer, you have to get a permit, for a minimum of 2 weeks.
Have you all seen it?
Yeah.
Yes, in the...
That's right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure.
I have a question, Tony. Already we've had to put a sign up at the other parking lot about no overnight parking. And I assume we would like to have no overnight parking in this one so people aren't sleeping in their cars. Could that be added to this sign, or are we going to have start with two or three different signs over there?
I've just done it in the past. We probably need four or five different signs.
Well, it would be nice if we could get everything on one sign.
Well, it kind of defeats the purpose if you allow to use that for overflow.
So right.
I don't think that's an issue.
Okay.
Make a motion we approve the payment of $112.35 to Southern Sign for the sign.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
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 Thank you.
Also, if Sun could look at possibly installing a light in that parking lot because it's pitch black. I don't know if it's feasible, but if you go with Duke, you can see if it is feasible to put a light in that parking lot.
Oh, I can, but it's going to have to be okay by Town Council.
Okay, then I would like to make a motion to do good to have Sonny look into putting a light for parking there. Because it's pitch black.
Dennis, have any cars been broken into up there?
Some people aren't running into each other.
When you say look into, Tony, what are you talking about? Seeing what the costs would be and...
Because Sonny would have to get... It's okay by you guys to go ahead and put it on the budget, all the lights that we have in town.
From my perspective, I don't think there's any problem with trying to understand what that would cost before we make a decision.
Yep.
Right?
Sure.
So.
Study that and get back.
So as it consists of the council, we'd like the public works director to send to us how much it'd like.
Right. Yeah.
Or. What he feels is appropriate lighting for that area, working with the police chief?
Yes.
If needed.
Good. We can work with Duke. They're pretty good at that.
Yep.
Yeah, putting up another
light.
Okay. If you could let us know how much I don't know if they do it for free and just put it in our electric bill or what, but. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Motion.
Thank you.
Flashing all night. Yes. Discussion and consideration of department head business administration. Recreation? No. Finance department?
Excuse me. I guess typically when we're going to do financing, I would just have this part of the consent agenda to approve resolution for financing. And I just wanted to briefly explain a little bit of the change. Most of the banks will not finance anything under $500,000. Typically up to this point, BB&T has been financing almost any amount that we ask for.
Good.
They've kind of changed our philosophy a little bit and looking for $100,000 or more for financing. So one way to do that, which was their suggestion, was to combine all our vehicle and equipment financing for the year. Mm-hmm. So this resolution is actually to do that. So it's for financing of about $186,000, which was everything included in our fiscal year 16 budget for equipment and vehicle financing. Mm-hmm. So everything will be done under for 4 years at 2.01%. But it is a little different philosophy. If we get to the end of the year, because they're going to fund this up front, keep it in a project, a bank account for us, and we'll draw it down as we buy the equipment. If we get to the end of the year and have not used it all, we can pay it back then.
Right. There's no prepayment penalty on our loans yet.
So, again, I just wanted to briefly explain that.
But they are going to charge us interest on all the money.
Are we going to charge
interest? Well, they actually, we earn interest as it sits in the project fund. They pay us interest.
Right.
But, yes, we would actually then, the first payment would be paying an interest payment. Right. So we can pay it back at no prepayment.
Make a motion we adopt resolution 15-07.
A second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye. Do we have to read that into the minutes, or is that enough?
No, good. That should be fine. Good.
Yeah. That's it, Arlen.
That's it.
Thank you.
Did everybody vote?
Yeah, everybody voted. Excuse me. Building department, John?
Yeah, there's something on top.
You have your handout before the meeting started. You have there the CNA that is an as-built structure that just was completed at 313 Settlers Lane. Second page, it is the same as-built, but you'll notice there is a wooden deck that is proposed that encroaches upon our 25-foot public utility unit. This is a request from the builder, or from the homeowner actually. They would like to build a 7x13 wooden porch that is not covered into our 25-foot public utility easement. This is something that y'all approved before and in the past, very recently. I've spoken with our public works director, and he is fine with it as long as the property owner understands that porch can be removed at any time if we need to get back there and service anything with the easement. So that's what you have before you. Do you have any questions for me?
John, you said the builder was here?
The builder is here.
Would you like to step up to the podium? Now, instead of nailing this thing together, can you actually bolt this part to it so it can be removed?
Yes,
it has to. Okay.
And, Sonny, we don't have anything running back there now, right? That's on the government side? You don't have any pipes in that behind the houses, do you?
We have some drainage pipes.
Yeah.
Probably not. Do we have it where they're not there. We have a 10-inch water main that runs back there, but it should be out of way.
Okay. Good. I make a motion with the caveat that it's boltable and that it would be removed if the town required. We approve.
Second. All in favor? Did you have some question on it?
Yeah, the question.
No, I just noticed all three of us seconded it one time, so we must be in favor.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. John, you have anything else?
No, sir. What's up?
Fire department.
Can I ask a question? You're trying to read a legal document?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything. Nothing was given to me. Nothing was said back.
I apologize.
That's quite a thing.
Wow. Getting on the bad side there, John.
So that's what's there now.
Thank you for keeping us straight.
So if there's some legal documents on them, make sure that they're aware that they're put. You know, know where they are.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, can we move on while y'all are looking at that and come back to it? Because it's, we have three.
It's in the minutes now.
It's in the minutes.
We can amend it. John, what was the deal?
Town attorney has asked me to amend the permit comments for the property that would allow for this 7x13 porch and to put in there that it can be removed at any time at the discretion of the town.
Good guy. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Police Department, Chief.
What? Yeah, the only thing I've got is the Shoreline Access and Parking Committee has approached me about replacing, remarking the parking places. Apparently, the DOT failed to remark after the repaving. I've discussed this with Tammy at great length. My personal opinion is I'm not in favor of remarking, but I told Tony I'll defer that decision to council due to all the other issues with parking that's going on. So whatever you guys decide, it's fine with me.
Where are they at, Chief?
Most of them are on the south side of K Avenue down past G, G8, by H Avenue South.
What is that right?
Yeah, you said exactly.
Some of them are 19 feet, some of them are 22 feet.
Before they paved the road, I had one of our members of our committee mm-hmm. go out and mark them all down. Mm-hmm. And when they came back and paved and restriped, there was, let me get this out, there were seven of them that were not remarked.
Okay.
They had white lines on the concrete that they should have been. We don't know why they didn't do it.
Well, why do we need them?
Excuse me, dear?
Why, since our police chief has advised against it, and I know we have very little space for bicycle riders to go down there, why would we
It doesn't affect the bicycle riders because there's no bike lanes in this section.
I know.
There is each.
So why should we put those back there?
Because people are parking there anyway.
Basically, people are parking there anyway, and it's our job as Shoreline Access to make sure that the town has parking spaces. They did have parking spaces. When they repaved, they did not put them back. I have no idea why they didn't put them back. We're still trying to find out why.
I didn't tell them, Monte.
Oh, I noticed.
Do they benefit anyone who lives there who does not have a driveway?
It benefits anybody who comes to Cary Beach.
No, that's not my question. Is there anybody who lives there who does not have a driveway
that's
and
not
needs...
not necessarily true.
What's that?
That's not necessarily true, what you just said.
Oh. That's right.
Well, I'm getting that.
But is there anybody who lives there that does not have a driveway or anywhere to park
except
in the street?
It might be one or two of those people. Maybe one or two. I'm not 100% sure. I'm only going by what Cary Beach had in the beginning, before the paving, and after the paving. It's up to the five of you to decide what you would like.
And so, Dennis, why is your recommendation not to put them back, so I understand?
Well, Dave, I'm just trying to wrap my head around the whole parking thing. To me, just driving through there, it's a lot more open.
Right.
It feels safer to me. And
okay.
I mean, that's how I feel about this. We've discussed it many times. And you've got these homeowners that live there that pay local taxes that we're putting another parking place in front of their house. There's already a couple of intersections down through there now that are very dangerous to get in and out of because the parking has ran really close to the intersection. I think this creates more of a hazard for people trying to back out of the driveway, back out of the garage on the houses that sit on the east side of Fort Fisher Boulevard South, the ocean front houses.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those that did get left out, it's freed that up, it's opened that up a little bit more. That's just the way I see it.
Well, I feel like safety is a more important issue than providing tourists with more parking spaces.
As we think about this for the moment, I think if we don't tell people where to park, they're going to park wherever they please over the weekends in particular. Marking those spaces ensures that they may only be used for one vehicle if it's one block, as opposed to having it wide open and people parking right up to people's driveways.
Unless we put no parking signs up there.
Well, there'd be a lot of no parking signs down there. My only view on this thing is that if they were there before, and one of the reasons we did want to, I went down through the street with Tommy, we did want to make sure that there weren't any citizens that had not requested we don't put anything in front of their house that would be impacted. And I don't believe we found that to be the case.
No, we could always double check what I have there.
But so beyond that, I mean, that was, there are feelings that, you know, what do you want more parking places for? Maybe want more parking places for the future. I don't know what we're going to do to control parking and saturation, traffic saturation as we go into the future. But so, I mean, I just happen to think that if you don't tell them where to park, they'll park where they can, and they'll park as thick as they wish. Just like in the parking lot, before we marked the lot and prevented them from parking.
We'll stop them from parking in places where there's not parking now anyway.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
It's the same deal. I mean, you know, they can park there. What do we do?
My view would be,
somebody parks in there.
If you have a 19-foot spot marked for one car, it may prevent three cars from trying to get in that spot. That's just my point of view. It doesn't say it's the right point of view. It's just my point of view.
So how do we enforce now for people that are parking where they knew these spaces were?
Your parking citations are $50 a pop.
So we are issuing citations now where those spots were?
I don't know if we've issued any on those particular spots.
Okay.
We focus more on the other problem areas that cause the greatest.
I mean, I'm sort of with Craig. I knew the spots were there before. If I was going down that way, I would park in the same place I parked after they paved, if they're not marked, unless I started hearing that your officers were writing a bunch of citations, and then I would hopefully hear about it or get one, right? So I'm sort of like Craig. It's like, if we're going to take spots away, it should be a conscious decision, not, whoops, they didn't re-stripe them. That's the different issue to me, right? So if the council says we're going to consciously remove spots for safety, I'm okay with that. If we're saying that Department of Highway Striping didn't stripe some of them and we just are going to let that go, that's totally different to me, right? So consciously, so if we decide we're going to remove them, then it should be a conscious decision, not an accidental happen. So I'm glad it came up, whether it's three or seven. Council, we have to decide, but from my standpoint, I'm sort of with Craig that I'm sure if we go down there on a Saturday, someone's parking where those were because they knew they were there. I guarantee it, right? Because that's down my way, and I look down the road and see. There's no bigger gaps down there on Saturday than there was before the strike. Because I walk across that street with a surfboard every Saturday and every Sunday and look down the road, and they're just as thick as they were before paving happened. So they're parking there, right? I mean, that's what I think.
It could have been a mistake for DOT who hired a contractor. I mean, look what happened to the bike lane, white line.
So I guess the issue is in those seven, if there are some that are too close and you think are unsafe, Chief, I would say we shouldn't put those back and say in the minutes we did that for a safety reason. But for the ones in the middle of the block, my sense is like Craig, we would put them back, right?
And also, with that, the sizes of one car along Fort Fisher, I walked that again with the measuring tape, and the sizes were 24, 6, 20, 22, 24, 19, and 15.
So you pay minimum wage for strippers, and that's what you get. I mean, okay.
I actually heard a good reason for that.
Okay. I asked what did they mark? Weren't they marked back like they were supposed to?
Some of them weren't because Chief Cooper got some people, like at the motel up on fire. They wanted it smaller because...
No, I'm just talking about the ones with no special requests, no nothing. The ones
I think they were put back with the white panel, with the white lines. Yeah.
The fact that some of them were disproportionate to others, the explanation that I heard, which makes sense, is that if you have a driveway space that might be between driveways, might be 19 feet, it's really not space for two cars, so you would mark the whole thing as a one-car space so two people don't pull into it.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know if that's factual, but that was an explanation that was offered by somebody who appeared to know what they were talking about.
Well, I'd like to say, if you're totally ignoring the safety issue, I would like for you to put, when you get to a corner, as the last one, but as far as possible from the corner, because I know we have the same problem over here at Sea Lane with people out in the street and close to the corner. And when you pull out on Port Fisher Boulevard, you can't see anybody coming, especially if there's something big like a 20-footer or a giant pickup truck.
Julie.
Well, the only thing I'm asking, whatever you would like to do, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 that have white lines that they didn't put back, and the other two we think that we could install.
Oh, so now you're talking Ed. That's different.
This is not adding. They were there, just that they didn't have white lines on the concrete. I don't know who marked them, but when they marked the streets originally, they put white lines on the concrete apron, and that's where they were supposed to end.
Okay, I got you. But our street before it was paved had those two, or didn't?
It had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes. And what they did on some of them also on Fort Fisher, they changed some that were two car, and then they made them a one car, and some were three car, they made a one car, and so on and so forth. There was no rhyme or reason with this, with them putting lines in.
So
I just want you to be aware of what we did and what's out there.
So, Council, what I would like, and you guys see if you'd like, is I'd like a drawing with the ones that are missing and the ones that need to be changed for the next meeting, the August meeting, with the police chief having notes on whether he recommends them by space for safety reasons, and then we'll approve them by space. Does that work, Dennis?
We can do that for sure.
Because if you say that this one is creating a hazard, I don't want to put it back, but for all the ones that were here before, we should do it by space, and then we'll have a drawing, we can look at it by space, get feedback from the police chief. If the public works director is worried about trash trucks, he could give feedback on it as well, and you could give us a drawing.
I said the lawns will say.
There you go. Okay, fair enough.
Well, I think it all falls back to when they did the paving. They had a new engineer, which he messed up. He messed up the bike lane, but this may have just been a fluke on their part that they forgot it.
But well, that's kind of like the bike lane like that. I mean, if you have a couple of drinks, you can follow that line.
That's right, exactly. So, Council, that's my motion, is we direct the SLAP chairman to work with the police chief and have a drawing by space and tell us whether it's a safety concern or not.
Well, what I'll do is like what we have. I'll give you the address, and it'll be...
A drawing of 421 by space. So we can see it. We got a map.
You social DOT.
That's right.
Yeah. I have a motion.
Maybe just
second.
Yeah.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Thank you.
And if anyone wants to help, Tony, we'd love the help. There you go. Thank you for bringing it up.
Public Works Department.
Thanks, Chief.
I'd like to talk about parking on the... because I know y'all don't know how I feel about it. First of all, I'd like to start off to say that I hadn't been here for a while, and I really have enjoyed it. I'm probably going to be present for the rest of them. So,
nice.
I just want to bring up Duke Power. Has contacted me and
basically it said that the new poles that, I don't know if y'all know or not, but yeah. Poles, you know, well, yeah, okay. So you already know all about this, right?
Not all of it, but a little bit.
Well, anyway,
we know the poles. We know the poles.
They've asked for some help from the Public Works Department. I'm going to suggest from town council that they allow us to do the concrete work. That way I know it's done pretty quickly. We can get those put in. I have concrete people sitting there waiting for them, and we get it done so we don't have a mess downtown during this type of this season. So I'm going to work with him and see if we can get this done fairly quick.
Where are they putting the poles?
The same place that they are now. It's just the poles
replacing
themselves.
With new yeah. ones. Thank you. Yeah.
So will we be getting
So
will we be getting any type of credit or anything towards our power bill for your assistance?
It was free like it did before. So. Right. That's a
good deal. So Sonny, I know you'll be working down there. Can you work with Nancy to inform the businesses so they know before it happens, so they at least know that it happened, right? Yeah. When you get it scheduled, if y'all can work together.
I'd love to. I love working with Nancy.
He's good. Not going to do it in the summer,
right? Well, don't know that yet.
Right.
So, well, it's going to NASDAQ and when they can get to it and all that good stuff. But I'm
Sonny,
definitely going to try to get them to do it later.
If they haven't already said they would you emphasize to them, especially the ones on Atlantic, that they have those special lights that so the turtles can't see the lights as much as they do a regular one.
You got that note?
Yeah, they're not changing the lights, it's the poles. They gave us the wrong poles, which I think Sonny told them at the time.
Okay.
I don't see why we don't talk to them for the turtles. What are you talking about?
We haven't. The lights are turtles.
Are they? Mm-hmm. Well, see, we're way ahead of the game.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, the other thing is, I think everyone received a copy of the force main extension that we're trying to do. If everybody got a copy of it, do you have any questions on that? I think it was it's for the contract. I need to get the engineer started on this so we can get this project done. It's a little bit more expensive than I thought it was, but we're doing it a different way. His recommendation was to run a single line all the way from our pump station all the way to the headworks of our treatment plant. So, and be less valves, less pumping. The way we were going to do it, we're going to have to multiple pump through different lift stations to get it to there. So I think in the long run, this is the way to do it. Money-wise, how long it's going to take us to recover. Our expenditure compared to what we're paying Caroline Beach, I'm not sure. I haven't really broke down those numbers yet. But I think it'll be fairly quickly. I think in the winter months, we can really send a lot of sewer there. We have to get permission from Sunny Point, so that'd be the first thing. And I get the survey done, we get that to them, get that knocked out, and then from there, we can go from there. Steve and I were talking a little bit earlier, and he was asking me about the materials, and would it be cheaper if we bought the material? Sometimes the contractors, whoever does it, they'll throw 15-20% or 10-15% over the top on materials. And it doesn't really matter to me which way we go. That may be a good option. We can look at it both ways, maybe get a number, from some contractors that deal with the parts and pieces, and maybe able to save it down there. So
yeah, so I mean, if you could send me a list of the material, okay. I'll throw you back a number and see if there's a savings for the
account. As soon as he gets into it more, he'll give me a list, right. And I'll get it to you. Right.
Sonny, when's the drop dead first date that you could actually start this?
Well, we have to get
Sunny Point. Yeah.
We have to get Sunny Point, and we have to go through 30 to 45 days probably with them. After that, we can probably get started. So we're talking, well, I don't know that's how.
And then do you have to get DOT's permission to go up through there? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Luckily, the rest of that's town.
So I'm going to be talking to a representative tomorrow, and if Arlen, you may want to sit in on it. We may be able to get a loan for that too.
Well, I did want to bring up that part, I guess. We didn't include this in our budget.
No, right? We did not.
So one thought that I had after seeing what the amount was is we filled our sewer expansion reserve fund mm-hmm. up to over $336,000. My thought was to use that.
That's right.
So we would actually use about half of that fund at this point.
Right.
But I think it might be the way to go. We have some other financing projects that are potentially down the pipe there with a stormwater project and water line replacement that are going to be fairly significant
right.
financing projects.
And that's right, yeah. So, well, see, I didn't want to worry about those trivia things like that. Luckily, the stormwater, you know, hopefully that fund will take care of itself on the stormwater part, hopefully, through the years. But,
right.
but you're right, yeah. We're going to be knocking a big hole into our SURF fund. Right.
And so just to remind council, this is number three on new business, but this project kind of highlighted itself yet again when we went through the sewer authority meetings in the spring and got revalued at our charge out rate. Sonny's had this one on the docket for a while. It's a great idea to use an existing Curie Beach capacity. So what it allows them to do is move more sewer to our lagoon from the older parts of town instead of pumping it to Carolina Beach. That pays us a couple of ways, and it gives us flexibility in the sewer system. So I encourage the council to consider this. I agree with Arlen. I think that with the bigger projects that we have coming, this is one that we would pay for out of one of the funds, whichever one Arlen recommends. And I don't know, we need that at this meeting, so I think we would bring to the August meeting a financial budget item for to add it at the August meeting, because Sonny's got a lot of work before we can start buying stuff.
Yeah, but the number's going to change, so we have one from this point to this point, but you know, we're not sure exactly what.
But I make a motion we approve the Public Works Director to work on this the sewer bypass force main project.
I'd have one question, if I could. Our relationship with Carolina Beach, do we share those costs, or we actually only pay what we use? I should probably know this, but
so the fixed costs are shared,
yeah,
and then the variable cost, it resets based on the cost of the thing.
Okay, so doing this would in fact
reduce our costs. Oh yes, it will.
Okay,
year after year.
Yeah, so Sunny can process it cheaper than Carolina Beach charges us. Sure, and that's why I think it'll pay back. Okay. We just haven't done the math to see how.
I guess down to capacity of the
right.
plant too.
Sure.
I mean, we're running about average of 60,000 a day
right.
you know, per year, and now we're at 285, we're 285,000, where we can treat up to that. Well, actually 80%. So
right.
That's 227 something like that. So.
And has that basin ever been dredged?
Basin has never been dredged.
Okay.
But that's something we're going to look into, and I talked to you earlier okay. about that. But you know, with the usage, I'm not sure. Last time that we did have a check, there wasn't
good.
Much in there.
Good.
You know, very good. Low, actually. But we do need to get a check.
Okay. So the motion made a motion.
I second.
Emily second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Attorney has
contract
word.
Contract hasn't been entered into yet, has it?
No.
No. Okay. I just wanted to point out, specifically on page 6, having had experience with this outfit once before,
yep.
When it comes to arbitration, I'm not too excited about falling under the American Arbitration Association rules. And I'm certainly not excited about holding any disagreement in Raleigh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's the reason you got a copy over there, attorney. So why don't you make those changes and we'll send it to them like that.
Good.
Okay.
I'm not sending it to you. You send it to them.
Thank you.
That'd be great.
Thank you, Sonny. Discussion and consideration of old business. Chief, how did the parking lot work this weekend?
It's good. We're good.
Someone's
got us fixing up and we're good to go.
So we're good? Okay. Emily, do you have anything to add to that?
I'd just like to thank Sonny and Dennis both for working together so well to set things up out there, have another way to exit the parking lot. I assume that hasn't been an extreme problem yet. I hope not too many people are using it as an entrance who are driving west, but hope it's working out okay. I see you kept the one on the back open, and we have more trash cans out there. Right?
Well, I was going to tell you that. I was hoping you would bring that up. I didn't want to put an old, ugly one out there, and we ordered some about a week and a half ago. We should be in. So as soon as I do, I'll get a couple more out.
Okay. Yes, we'd like to have some very pretty ones out there.
Well, that's true. That's what we want.
But most of all, I just really appreciate them working together on it and working it out. And I'd like to thank the mayor for coming over and meeting with me and Dennis. And the next day I was out of town, and so I believe he met with both of you too. So I appreciate everybody doing this collaboration.
Thanks. Discussion and consideration of new business, Adopt a Beach.
Could you go first? She go first? I'll go first.
Oh.
Swearingen is first on the list.
Okay. Well, I think the whole... I don't really want to talk about Adopt the Beach until we talk about what the issue is.
Okay.
Why that came up. So
that's fine.
If you want to start off...
I'll be glad.
Because I can add some too. Because I also talked... Let me tell you. I also talked to Steve about a few things, and he passed it on to the chief, and I think that's part of the reason why we have... information from him.
Okay. Nancy, can you pull up under new business page 2 in the PDF? So the issue that came up for the rest of council and for the audience is we've got complaints about tents being left on the beach after hours. We have a policy that says that after 8 p.m. until 7 a.m. there are no unoccupied tents to be on the strand. So if you're sitting there with your tent, you can be there, except you can't camp on the beach, but you can be there with your tent as much as you want. But after 8 p.m. until 7 a.m., you have to pick it up,
David,
and take it off. Yes.
It's 7 p.m.
I thought I looked at the ordinance. I'm pretty sure 8 p.m.
says
7 p.m. You're right, to 8 a.m. I apologize. Thank you. We pick them up after 8. Thank you. Between 7 and 8. Nancy's trying to get up, the assistant fire chief from July 1st right now, our current, this next page that shows all the recommendations, page 2. Currently what happens is we have two lifeguards from 5 until 8 starting July 1st, and those lifeguards will inform people as they're driving around, and they'll pick up the tents that are left, and they go back to the firehouse. That starts July 1st. The complaints happened in late June, so before we actually start this. And so the person that actually sent us the complaint volunteered to solicit volunteers to do this on their own, which I'm not in favor of at all, but council should talk about that. The lifeguard talked about, okay, how could we staff this earlier? And what would the cost be to town to do what we do in the rest of the summer? And so if you look at the recommendations, basically what Ed Kennedy did is propose, okay, if you want us to start earlier, here's the cost of that. Additionally, he had some concerns about the lifeguards splitting duty between looking for people and taking care of tents. So in some of the recommendations, he has a person solely dedicated to tents, which I think is a little overkill, but I understand his position. From my standpoint, the council just needs to decide when is this an issue and then fix the budget if we have to deal with it how we are. Because I think now that we're into July, I have not seen another complaint, unless you guys have, and I looked for my emails for it to see if we had one after the 1st of July when we started doing it like we've been doing it in the past. I'm just concerned if we have a committee that is going up to people and taking down their tents that is not an employee of the town if something happens.
Okay, I talked to the woman who made the complaint, and she understood that that's not a good idea, and that's where the Adopt the Beach thing came from. But before we go there, I wanted to see for myself. So the next morning I went out, or Sunday morning, went out on the beach, and the main tent that was there was 200 square feet, and it was really bolted into the ground. And there was a gentleman there who was in charge of the 20 people who were staying. It's in a gray house on the other side of the motels down there. It's huge. And they're very excited about coming back again next year. But this was the only thing they could find that wouldn't blow away. And it had been there for almost a week. They had not taken it down at night at all, and we talked a lot about turtles and everything. He understood the necessity of taking it down. He did say that no one, not the agency he was renting the house from, nor any of the lifeguards, said one word to him the entire week that they were there, either that the tent was completely illegal and should not have been, and read on in the ordinance. Nothing that big can be on the beach and completely illegal, and nothing about taking it down at night and putting it up in the morning. And we talked about a lot of other issues down there too. Having bags full of beer cans and beer bottles tied to one of the poles there and left all night long. And we also talked to our, he said, yes, the night that Barbara reported on, he said that whole area down there south of him, it was covered with tents for two or three nights. And I guess on Sunday, everybody was getting ready to go home and had taken them down. I was kind of surprised that there were as many as everybody reported and as she took pictures of, and stayed up as long as they did. So I contacted Steve, and he talked to the lifeguards about it, and I'm hoping, you know, we don't have this issue again. If it's a problem, you know, looking out at the beach and taking down tents at the same time, then maybe we need to just have a small flyer that says poles must be filled in and tents must be taken down by 7 p.m. or your tent may be gone. In addition to that, in talking, you know, from what the police chief said here and what Ed Kennedy said here, apparently when they do take them down, they take them to the fire department, leave them outside, and people just come and get them. Well, we do have fines that are outlined in here. And if we're not going to enforce these ordinances, there's no reason to have them. And I guess I need to ask the chief, when people come and pick up those tents from the police department, I mean from the fire department, would the firemen be allowed to give them, you know, tell them they can't take it with them until they pay their fine? Or would they have to come to the police department to pay a fine?
Well, I don't know. It says a civil citation, so I don't think any agent of the town could like that. I'll refer that to the town attorney.
Who would issue it again?
Well, they would have the tent. The firemen would take up the tents and bring them to the fire department because they're down there illegally. Then when people come to get their tents, they would tell them they cannot take it with them until they pay the citation.
What is the citation?
Or the fire department. Fire department 50, that
I'd make sure I pick a tent that's worth more than $50 then.
Well, I would do that. I just send them to the police department. You can bring a receipt back to me.
And if there's nobody in the police department,
you know. I mean, you know, these are young kids.
Yeah, but I don't see any reason.
Well, it'd be the fire department.
Hey, do you even know that the tent they pick up is their tent?
No.
You don't.
We do not.
I mean, we're a tent.
I don't know what, okay, I don't know what we're trying to do.
If we're not going to enforce this, we should not have the regulation. And particularly the one that was 200 square feet, they should have been notified the very first day that they couldn't have it there, and if they didn't take it down and leave it down, they would be fined a considerable amount. And we could have sent John down there to do that one. But, I mean, either we're going to enforce it or we aren't.
Lisa, you had a...
Actually, there is something the town can do, and it would take it. You're not going to be able to get it to every property owner, because if they're releasing them for sale by, I mean, for rent by owner, but every company that has a rental sign has a broker in charge. Let them know that it has to be adhered to attend thereto. If not, then that property owner will receive that citation, and it can be put, the bill, the town can send an invoice, or one of those. Or however you guys want to do it. I'm just saying there are ways to enforce it, because a broker in charge is saying, okay, we're supposed to do this. It takes it away from the police department and puts the onus on the property managers to enforce what they by code should be enforcing.
If just one point, Lisa, for my clarification, if I actually am renting a house across the street,
right,
are we only talking about citations to the people on the beachfront?
You can't give citations to anyone in the house because it's on public property.
Right.
You don't know which house they're from.
Yeah.
So the issue is,
you have to identify if it's property.
And they're not, and even then you can't do that. So, because the violation is not on the property. So for me, the issue is, what is the real problem? If we are saying that someone has to verify if they're under 200 square feet or not, we either have to train our lifeguards or get our building inspector to go down the beach, or police officers or someone, because you can't look at a tent and say, oh, that's 200, that's more, or that's less. You just can't do that. You gotta take a tape measure and do that. If that's the type of beach we want, that's a different beach than where I grew up.
Well,
and I hear these ladies, but
it's not hard to see these 200 square foot ones, because they are 10 feet wide, 20 feet long, but, and it says, it's like an automobile. It's for automobiles to use. It's not difficult to see how big it is. And I was under the impression that the lifeguards were already, I'm sorry, nobody's here from the fire department, but I thought they were already educated on what can be on the beach and what can't be on the beach.
Well, David and Jim are here from the fire department, so that's...
Right, so, I mean, they're educated on, they talk very minorly on enforcing all of the ordinances that we have. They focus their efforts on medical training and rescue training. Right. So they understand that beer is not allowed on the beach, and they'll call the police department if someone's out of hand, right? So if someone is blatantly using alcohol on the beach, they will do that. They do not go look in coolers to see if anyone has beer. And I don't think that's exactly what we want them to do. If you get the blatant offenders, the beach is where it is, because the majority of our offenders are our residents for alcohol on the beach. So that's one. The tent issue is almost similar in that if we say we're going to pick up the tents and we get them the first week, whenever they start, they pick up a bunch of them, and then it drops way off because people get the word out. And so the complaints that happened in June, the assistant fire chief said, here's what I could do, right? He's got it up there, right? I think we also have a communication issue that the council has to figure out how we're going to get the word out to people that you can't leave them overnight.
I'll address that after you finish.
There's lifeguards that are revving, and we could not print something and just say, see this, people.
That's right.
Just hand them a pamphlet and say, here, yeah, we go, read this, it's important.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a tent, you need to have this information.
Yeah.
And then if it's still up, they take it, they come, you know, we go from there. But
right.
An ounce of prevention is worth 2 pounds of cure in that scenario.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm with you, David. You know, just take the things down. If there's a way to communicate, let's communicate.
And I think for the bigger ones, I think we probably need to let the lifeguards train on how do you recognize these that are big. But if you go down there, you're supposed to be focused on the water, and someone's put three tents together, that looks like one big tent until you get up on it, because people tie them together.
Yeah.
And it looks like, oh, that was way big, and then when you get there, really it's three different tents that someone's tied together. They look exactly the same as a big tent. That's what I'm saying. They're not focused on that. Not to say that we couldn't redirect them, but we just need to be very clear on what we want any department to do, right? If our goal is to be like the beach to the south of us that basically said no tents at all, because there are beaches that have done that now, mm-hmm, right? If you remember, they were in the news last year when they did it, and everyone was very upset about it. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's where we want to be. And I think the issue is if we start earlier, we need to define when. We've got time now because the season's already here, but we should figure out when to direct them, and if we have to change their budget to do that, we do that next year. And then what we want happening. I think what we really want is by 8 p.m. all the tents off the beach. That's what I think we want. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we want that, then we should direct them. Ed King's a smart guy. Figure out how to do that. And if you need help from the police department because you got a problem person, call the police department. But the goal is, Ed, tell us what you need, but we want all tents off the beach by 8 p.m. every night.
Could we start with this thing up here you have on the board, could we start doing Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day? And yeah, just have an extra guy, just for those, and see if that doesn't solve the problem?
They'll do whatever we tell them to.
A citizen brought to our attention, and you went down, that's all it takes.
Well, recommendation number three, I thought sounded very good. The only thing is you don't have to assume that you're going to work for 3 hours for 38 days. It might be, like you said, you go down there and you remove them and it calms down for 2 or 3 weeks. So they don't have to do that every single day. They only have to do it when they notice. And I know they're riding up and down the beach. They're bound to notice that there are, five or six out there, or there are none out there.
Well, the issue for Ed and whoever's scheduling, whether it's Dennis or Ed, is
labor.
That's not their issue. The issue is they won't clear guys because the one day they decide not to do it is when someone's going to complain about a tent.
Well,
so they want to start and do it.
And you run the beach, and if there's nothing out there, you go home.
Right. He'll run his schedule.
You don't just hang out for 3 hours so you can get paid more.
Yeah, he'll run his schedule. I mean, I'm confident that he will be a steward of our money, right? Mm-hmm. We just need to give him clear guidance on what we want. When do we want it to start, and what is our goal? Mm-hmm. If we say, start Memorial Day, after 8 p.m., we don't want any tents left on the beach, make that happen. He'll figure it out, and he'll tell us what he needs. That's what he tried to do in this, is here's what I think it'll cost me. I'll be glad to do what council tells us.
Now, your other question about actually notifying people and also what Dennis alluded to, and an educational process. Because of some emails we received from the Wilmington Regional Association of Realtors, I met with the gentleman who sent the email, Shane Johnson, and their chairman of their board of directors, Sherry Pickard and Jerry, their executive director, for about 2 hours yesterday. And the main thing that came out of that was we have an awful lot in common. And I don't know if any of you noticed this when the emails came through, but they had thought about posting something in each one of the rental units to get people to stop doing certain things.
Right.
And if you look at this, I showed the gentleman, it says, have fun while following the law.
Yep.
And I said, well, what law? Are you talking about noise? Are you talking about tents? Are you talking about drinking? I said, this needs to be specified a lot more than what it is, and keep garbage cleaned up, but it says nothing about when garbage is collected and when you should put the cans out front. I know I have all of those things. Oh, please don't leave, because I'm talking about you too. So, when it's picked up in the morning, so it's not sitting, especially on Fort Fisher Boulevard, for 2 or 3 days when the wind gets really, really strong. And volume of music, with nothing about how late you can run it or how early you can start it in the morning. And so we started talking about what all the local regulations are. Jerry, their executive director, actually suggested that, and maybe Lisa can comment on this, he'd like to put together something that would go in the contract that the rental agencies give to the tenants to sign, so that they have it spelled out right there in their contract. And if we made the rental agencies liable for some of these fees.
Who made that suggestion, Jerry Pans?
Yes. Yes.
That would come down from the local board. He is the head
of
that.
Yeah, we were just talking about it. It was nothing definite.
It's a way to police it. It's not going to solve all of it.
No, but education is a big start. I mean, when you come in and it just, and you have a sign that says obey the town laws, that's difficult to do if you don't know what the town laws are. But at the very least, have something that's a little more detailed like this that they would post in the units. Maybe they will or will not put it in their contracts, but they'll have a little more detail for it. And they were very, very cooperative, very willing to work with us. And John Batson, because he knows what all the laws are, and the SLAP committee, because they're familiar with all the laws, if you guys are interested in something like that.
I think you should bring this up at our beach breakfast, because they're going to be there, and they're going to be represented by, I think, what, 15 members? So if you if you could draft up the sign that you would like, and then let them in.
Well, we need to work together on this, and, I mean, I could put all of these on a sign.
No, well, I think
so. I can't just present a sign to you. I'd like to present a concept to everyone. Maybe Carolina Beach and Wrightsville Beach have the same issues.
The same thing.
Right.
It would be a great audience there to present this.
Yeah.
Thing. So there you go.
So I felt really good about cooperating on that.
Did you receive an apology?
Not yet. I did, but not yet.
Yes.
Okay, we also, adopt a beach, okay? Mm-hmm. This is just like you adopt a highway.
Can we see if Nancy's got a question to the bill? Nancy, what did you have?
Just a couple things. The SLAP committee had all these brochures made up that they gave to the realty companies, and it's on that. All of the beach ordinances are on there.
Right.
They're all on our website.
Right.
This particular ordinance is not on the signs that the beach accesses. That's the only one that is not, that would be remedied. But my question is, I mean, what exactly is the issue with tents on the beach? Is this a safety issue or is this an aesthetics issue?
It's a safety issue and it's a turtle issue. In addition to that, there's the problem with digging the big holes, because I understood, even from the gentleman I talked to, that there were several humongous holes dug during that week and nobody filled them in. And again, that's a safety issue and it's a turtle issue.
But how are the tents a turtle issue? I guess I don't understand.
Because they can bump into the poles.
I'm surprised the turtles didn't say anything.
I know.
Can I just say something? With SLAP, we make these brochures and we make sure we hand them out to all the realtors. And we have to be honest about it. We spent a lot of money in the town with all the paperwork. Tourists do not care about our town, about reading these rules. Unfortunately, that is the biggest problem. They just don't care. We have it on paper, and it's up to just the lifeguards just to remind them that that might be the easiest way to do it.
And they could hand out, the lifeguards could hand out those brochures. I took the brochures with me when I talked to them. None of them had ever seen the brochure before. So I don't know that the managers are passing them out or leaving them in the units or anything. And then they also brought up the issue when they, well, an issue you and I have talked about personally. I'd rather not talk about it in public. Okay, so any other questions, Nancy or Nancy? Okay, the Adopt a Beach program is a program several states have, like South Carolina, New Hampshire. North Carolina does not. They said they very much like to, but there are a few towns that have it, such as Carolina Beach. I found out that really the brochure Carolina Beach has says Carolina Beach and Kerry Beach have an Adopt the Beach program, but nobody in Kerry Beach has ever heard of it. So Barbara asked if we could discuss the possibility of having an Adopt a Beach here in town where volunteers would be assigned a special beach, like Kerry Beach Village could be assigned a block. I don't know if you guys would be willing to do this, but Sea Watch could be assigned a block. And the program, usually you clean your block like a beach sweep every month or during the summer every week. They may even want to take on every day on their own if it's a really, really bad area. I understood from Sunny, we only clean around the pier or under the pier. We don't send our guys out in both directions to clean up the beach.
We don't pick up the beach. We pick up the garbage on the beach there at the cans and at our accesses. Yeah. We don't patrol the beach. Yeah. My understanding is the lifeguards do that. I mean, they pick up, you know, during the day or whatever.
I think they're too busy looking out for the water.
They do some, but people pick up the beach.
Yeah.
And so I guess the question for me is, so do they get nice signs saying we are the Adana Beach people or any of that?
No, they just, it's like a mitzvah, but they do this out of the goodness of their heart without expectation of return. And this woman is interested in trying to put it together. I'm sorry the SLAP committee didn't meet this month because I wanted to come and talk to you guys about it and see what you thought, but which we can still do at your next meeting. We don't need to approve it now. I just want to know whether or not you guys would be interested in pursuing it.
If they want to do it and there's no cost to the town, I don't see why we shouldn't.
I guess I'd like to know SLAP's view, like you're saying. Yeah. I think we ought to let the beautification committee...
We don't have a beautification.
Well, it's kind of been melted into...
We have a protection committee.
So,
okay, well, why don't I
would,
could I come to your meeting
and
talk
to you? Meeting next month, but I will be in Mexico, but I will tell my
insurance. Is that where you're moving to?
No.
Okay. I will be glad to come there.
All right. Walkway to Zeke's Island.
Okay.
So there's no decision on this?
Steve, is that okay if I come to talk to your committee?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So we need to defer this until the fall to talk about next season, Nancy, because we're already past this, but we need to make a decision in the fall so we can give direction on if we're starting earlier than July 1st.
And meanwhile, can we ask the lifeguards to be a little diligent with it if it gets out of hand down there and educate them on...
I just said that because I know that's the way it used to be. I don't know anything about that anymore.
So Steve's a liaison, but I request, you know, Steve, can you take to Chief Kennedy and Chief Hagler that the ordinance, we request the lifeguards be diligent in enforcing the tent ordinance. And if they need anything from council, let us know. Is that good enough, Emily?
Yeah.
Does that work?
Sounds great.
That's a consensus?
Yes.
Sure.
That's concise. Walkway to Zeke's Island, swearing.
Okay, I'm sorry the chief isn't here, the other chief isn't here, but when we were talking at one point, he mentioned some of the problems he was having down here at the very end of the island, with having to do a lot of water rescue. And I'll ask Andy first, although this is second on the list. Do you need to leave?
Yeah,
I do. That's okay, before
the chief leaves, I'd just like to say the chief and his department did a great job on Sunday with the issue that happened.
So
I got to observe that. So great job, Chief.
My guys did it in Carolina Beach and in the county, so make sure they get a lot of credit.
No, great job.
Thanks, Chief.
Let me put the second one first, because Andy, we had, I think, asked you about whether and if you could check and see if it's even possible for us to have a charge or a fee for going down there to get people who were climbing on the wall between Fort Fisher and Zeke's Island and not being able to get back.
Well, if the wall was within our jurisdiction, by that I mean within our county, I think that we could, because I found nothing that precludes us to charge for a rescue fee. Then again, as I said at the meeting last month, I don't think that's a good move. I don't think it's appropriate to charge for rescue, but that's neither here nor there. That's just my opinion. But the rock wall totally is in Brunswick County. It's in their jurisdiction. They're the people that have the say-so of what goes on there. As to who owns those rocks, that I cannot tell you. It's a governmental agency of the United States government. I'm not sure whether it's a geodetic society or whether it's a civil service out of Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, it's multiple United States Army. I don't know, but that's basically, if all things were right, we could. I don't think we're in a position to do so.
Okay, so that pretty well puts an end to us charging anything for all the work we do down there. Meanwhile, it was also brought up that it would be nice if we could have some type of metal structure, like a huge fence that you couldn't climb around on our end of the rocks, so that it would deter people from going out because the signs are not doing it. And I talked to Bob Kiesler day before yesterday about that, and he said that, again, it's an issue of who owns it, that if, you know, the federal government, I believe, owns Zeke Island, and that's a state park down there, so we're not sure how far out belongs to the state, how far out belongs to the federal government, and how much of it marine fisheries might also have involved there.
And the permit to position for that marina that used to be down at the end there where they used to carry out the fishing parties, that was granted by the state of North Carolina to the fishermen.
Okay. So anyway, he's going to look into it and find out, you know, exactly which authority it is and whether it's Brunswick County, and let us know and what the possibility would be, because far too many people are being injured on that wall, and all of you are probably aware of what it's like at high tide and everything.
Have you been down there to see it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, walked on parts of it.
A lot of the walkway up into what is known as Fort Buchanan, that hill, mm-hmm. up the old Fort Buchanan, that is in New Hanover County. But if you get out further, mm-hmm. there's a point there which is a geodetic marker that's Brunswick, and it runs southeast across the waterway.
Yeah. So that's what he's going to check on and let us
know. Are you recommending that the town of Fury Beach put something up down there? That we spend the
No, I think we should make an effort to find out who's responsible for it, and again, collaborate with them and work with them to try to protect more of our residents and guests from going out there and being injured like a lot of them are.
I don't think you're going to protect it, but
I appreciate you bringing up Emily, because I know that the chief, who's my dad, is on your side of this issue. I'm on the total opposite side of this issue personally. I don't need the government protecting me. And I think those people that choose to go fish on it don't need the government protecting them either. The rescue call issue, I think we should ask the chief or Assistant Chief Kennedy to let us know how much it's costing so we understand the financial impact. Mm-hmm. But this whole big government view of protecting people from stuff is just totally, totally adversarial to my view of the world. So, you know, that doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about it, but I'm against it. We'll see what happens when we get more information.
Okay. I would like to continue to pursue it.
That's fine. That's fine.
It's not just a matter of protecting the people, especially the ones that take little kids out on the wall, but also protecting whoever owns it, because sooner or later there's going to be a lawsuit out.
Okay.
That's okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Emily.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to skip number three, because it's already done. Town sites and political activities. Hagler.
Yeah, so I brought this one up. So we're in the election season. We're going to pass out something to council. We have a policy for our facilities that I think I would like us to talk about modifying. And I think this is at the council's will, but my personal opinion is we need to make sure there's guidance for political activities now that we're in the political season. So this is kind of detailed, but basically I started with our current policy. I got some information from Nancy, and then I looked on the general statute about what you can and can't control. So that there are some rules. You have to let some things happen. You all right, Dean? You good?
Yeah.
And so I'll just read the recommendation, and then I would open it for council to discuss, because I think that as a group we need to decide where we go. So this would be adding a section to use of town facilities for political purposes. Use of town facilities for the purpose of political meetings shall be on a nonpartisan basis. And our elections are nonpartisan, so that would mean local elections could still use them. But if it was a bigger Democratic, Libertarian, Republican thing, it wouldn't. And shall comply with General Statute 16399, which is at the bottom, which is really focused on schools, but also has other public buildings.
May I get the key to our car? Sorry.
Yes.
I got to eat.
Okay. See you all down there. Sorry. Everyone else
sorry
is
about that, guys.
Let's see. So the way I see it is we really have four separate buildings, and they're different. And I think they should be treated a little different, right? So we have this building, which is Town Hall, which is for the business of the town. And I think we want to keep that as business for the town versus a political place, right? Yeah. Unless, but you have to have a backup, because if the community center is scheduled, that's the place where I think this is the right place to do that, the community center. It's set up for that, for meetings. It's not downtown, so it's away from where our visitors are, and political activities are not what our visitors are coming here for. So so for the town hall council room, the room we're in right now, it serves as where we do our elections. It may be used for purposes listed at no cost in the event the community center facility is not available. Shall not be used for events related to individual candidate meet and greet events, rallies, planned sessions, etc. Right? So Board of Elections meetings obviously should be here. Individual political party precinct meetings is required by the statute. And the nonpartisan candidate forums would, if you want to do it here instead of the community center, fine, I guess, right? Community center is the right place for this. At no cost, and then if individual candidates wanted to do something at the community center, they could rent it like other people do. Our oceanfront park and pavilion, really that's the center of our town, and the way I see that is for education, is for holding, you know, weddings out of season, because I looked at our other parks, which I didn't realize this, and you can't do weddings in the middle of the season, which makes sense, right? So I think that was good. I just had forgot about it. But it's not really for political stuff, I don't think. And then the Joey's Park is the same thing. That's recreational, and it's not for political meetings. Although people can gather independently, but they can't advertise and have a big political meeting. So that's my thought at it. You know, I open it to you guys, but
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So community center or nothing.
Okay.
I have a question, the meet and greets, does that include fundraisers for an individual candidate?
Let's see, I think we need to add that. Obviously, I didn't think about it, right? I'm open to you guys' suggestion, right? I didn't even think about fundraisers because I don't plan on raising any funds, but yeah.
I would think for a fundraiser, you would use a community center, and because community center can be used by anybody who's willing to pay for the use of it. Whether it be a church, we've established that, right?
So you just want added like fundraiser?
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
For the community center,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So add fundraisers.
And my other question is, and I know this
but
sounds...
But you can be at no cost, I think.
I know this sounds totally unrealistic, But just in case, say if I wanted to hire the Mark Roberts Band to put on a concert at the Oceanfront Park for my campaign.
Right.
Would that be allowed?
Nope.
Because you can't get it in the community center.
Right.
By this, it's not. I mean, my suggestion is it's not. I mean, you know, that's my suggestion. Our town's small enough, I don't think that you need big bands to reach the 2,200 voters and get them to pick. I mean, I would be all for banning all signs, too, but I know that's, one, it's illegal, and two, because I'm not going to have any again this time. I never have, and I would just as soon not see them. But I recognize that that's not how small-town politics are, right? So, but I just think that, one, I want us to have clear guidance to staff so they're not having any questions, and two, I want us to all agree here's how we're going to do stuff, right?
Okay.
But I think adding fundraisers is the bottom of B is appropriate. If there's anything else you guys think of, I'm open for it.
I think this is good.
And so I'd make a motion with the adding of fundraisers to section B, the community center, in the bottom paragraph, that we add this to our policy manual for Article 4 facility.
You want to say?
I do.
Right on. You got it.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you. I'll pass this on to you, Nancy.
Number five was the charity event. So, Emily, you said you had some questions on this?
Yes. And let me say, first of all, I RSVP'd the Disability Resource Center long before I saw this on the consent thing. Okay. Let me explain to you. First of all, I've known this organization ever since they started. I was responsible for giving them city funding in Wilmington to help them get started for the first few years. I've watched them grow over the years, and they are a wonderful, wonderful organization. They're having a breakfast, just like many, many of the nonprofits do all year long, having breakfast, lunch, or dinner. There is no registration fee, and at the end of the meeting, you are asked to dig into your heart and your pocket and help them with fundraising by making a donation, which is tax deductible. The problem I have with the town making a donation to this organization is that they do not operate on Pleasure Island, and to my knowledge, they do not serve any residents in Kiri Beach. I've gone to dozens and dozens of these things, and especially over the last 5 years, and I've made no donation. I've made $50 or $100 donations, and I could list probably 20 or 30 of them, and never ever ask the town, because I felt like that was my own personal interest in doing that. And I could probably make a donation to this one on, I guess it's day after tomorrow.
No.
However, it's on Thursday.
It's on, yeah, tomorrow.
And I guess I have one of two requests. Either that if the mayor feels as strongly about this nonprofit as I do, some of the ones I've attended, that we not take a book out of Jonathan Barfield's hymnal and spend taxpayers' money for going to things such as this, which he was really called on the carpet for. And that if any council member wants to make a personal donation, that's his or her business. Otherwise, if the council feels strongly that the town should make a donation to this particular nonprofit, then I think it's only fair that you either split it or give an additional amount so that both of us can be making a donation on the town's behalf.
Are you through?
Yes.
Okay. This was never meant to be a $100 donation from the town. I was invited to this charity. I was going to make a $100 donation myself. I would ask y'all if you would like to make the donation, you can. Not the town. Okay? So that's the end of that story.
That's not the way it's in the
I don't care how agenda. It's in the book, it was not intended that way.
Okay. Well, so I'm just looking it up. I mean, I don't know anything about the charity. We tell other nonprofits to request from the town in our budget process, so I'm glad it got pulled out of the consent agenda. I make a motion we cancel it, and then both of you go and enjoy dinner on your own.
Right.
Breakfast.
Breakfast, sorry, whatever it is, right? So
yes.
That's my motion.
Okay. Motion, second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thanks.
Thank
Commissioner's
you.
Items.
So you wanted, Emily?
That was it.
Oh, I thought you wanted to update on the...
I was hoping we were through.
We're ready. Well, then don't update, because I've read it, so I'm fine. But
oh, okay. All right. The sales
tax.
I don't even know where I'm at.
It's not even finalized.
So can I go first then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Please, Arlen, if you know anything different or any of the rest of you do,
still
appears there's really developed a lot of conflict. Because the rural areas have found out that they're not going to get lots of money falling into their localities overnight. And also, there's an issue about the data that the legislature has presented to everybody is grossly incorrect. Like, they've used something like a 4% increase, you know, over the next few
years. 3.5%, which is...
Yeah, almost.
Actually,
right. And not taking into account places like where we are that we're already talking about.
And I've just been at conferences where they've been going over this, and there's 150 different versions of the income redistribution. So. Yeah.
Mr. Brown had 50 representatives from small county government this week. So I don't know if it's if the small town governments are not supporting it or whatever, but yeah, that's what the paper said this morning.
Yeah, and it's just turned into such a boondoggle right now. I think a lot of places are really hoping that it will not go anywhere.
I hope the House shoots it.
Yeah. The governor said he'll veto it. So there you go.
Yeah, that's true. And even if it's in the budget,
he's going to be budget. So there you go.
So
yeah.
That ought to be history. So that's...
Let me also talk to you about regulatory reform. The bill has passed the House, went to the Senate. The Senate changed it tremendously. The House had... the bill was 2 pages. When it came back from the Senate, it was 56 pages.
Yep.
And so the House did not confer at all or concur at all. They have put a committee together, and Kaplan has asked to be on that committee. He is 100% opposed to what the Senate has sent over. Said that there are all kinds of bad regulatory requirements in there, including having the public pay for attorney's fees. There's it directs the Environmental Review Commission to revise all state stormwater laws and regulations, and they want to raise the density of what you're allowed to have for stormwater, and the House is asking, no, let's just go back and look at what we have. Don't try to propose new things without any relevant information here. So, they've also directed in this bill Diener to study whether the removal of utility lines, such as stormwater lines, should be exempt from certain environmental regulations without studying that or researching that at all. And so right now it looks like that bill is not going to go through at all this year unless the Senate can agree on some huge changes, and I understand there are a lot of industry people who do not concur with what the Senate presented either. So, I don't know how that affects you, Sonny, but we'll keep an eye on it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Steve?
Hey, yeah. Sonny, I want to talk to you about, ask you a couple questions about the trash, I mean, on the weekends.
Trash or garbage?
Garbage.
Yes, sir.
Garbage. When you come down Fort Fisher Boulevard on Saturday and Sunday, it looks like, you know, garbage cans are everywhere. I mean, you pick those up on Monday?
We pick them up on Friday if they're out there.
Okay.
We pick them up Monday. Our garbage pickup is Monday and Tuesday residential.
Right.
Okay. We run Fridays. If they have them out there and they're overflowing,
yeah,
we pick them up on Friday so that, you know, it doesn't look so bad.
But
if they're out there Saturday and Sunday, we need to get something taken care of as far as writing some...
So they're there till Monday or Tuesday. I mean, I'm looking at one on 3rd Avenue that was there Saturday morning, and I drove by it. Good God. Sunday afternoon.
So who writes the citation for that, Sonny? Is that the building inspector, or...?
And how much is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I don't know.
I looked at the beach ordinance.
I just picked it up.
And Sonny moved it to Monday to try to...
We do extra pickups on Friday, like I said, on the highways, and try to make it. I mean, there's no charge. We just try to
pick them out there. That's right.
And like you said, if it's put out there, you know, Tuesday, and we have a Monday residential pickup, and it's out there, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and hopefully we get it Friday.
But if we have like some of these rentals that continue. Shouldn't we require them to get two garbage cans?
They only have one garbage can?
Yeah, instead of looking at this all the time.
Yeah, we can. So
and charge them for the extra garbage
can? Yeah.
What is the citation, Andy? Because I think it won't. And is the issue you can't bring it out more than 24 hours before? Because I know my neighbors got on me and I started not doing it on Saturday afternoon. Because I want to follow the policy. I just didn't realize I was getting in trouble, right? So it's 24 hours before pickup, right? As a street, I can't remember. I was trying to search it.
I think it shouldn't. I think you're not supposed to have it out to like 6 on Sunday.
6 in the afternoon.
That's right. Yeah,
6
the evening before.
And then it has to be back in your perch by 6
on Tuesday. The day after
your collection.
Right. So if this is showing up on Saturday morning, it's not supposed to be there.
Right.
Nope. I'm not trying to make.
So I guess I wish Dennis wouldn't have left because
it's not supposed to be out there. You're correct.
Right. So we need to give them a citation, but we got to find someone that's working the weekend to do that, right? I think I don't know how we've done those citations in the past when it's been a problem. Do you know, Sonny? I know we've done them before, but I don't know how we actually went around an issue.
Every once in a while, it gets bad again, and John goes in, writes some citations, and it pretty much cleans
right.
it up. That's how the way it was.
Right. John had to leave early tonight. He was on fire duty, so.
Right. We talked to him about going out.
He usually doesn't take long
on Sunday.
Yeah. And you get one or two $25 penalty, and you stop doing that. Except for rental.
Do those citations go to the management company or the owner of the thing or whoever's running it?
The property. I don't have anything to do with citations.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Like I said, we just pick it up. I'm just the.
Okay.
Run. We just pick it up. Usually, you know, John has done a good job in the past when we did have problems. We were having major problems there for a while, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
5, 6, 7 years ago. I don't know how long that was.
Yeah.
And John buckled down a little bit, and it was taken care of. And,
all right. So I'll call him
tomorrow.
Yeah, if you're having a typical problem with a certain area, then I'm sure he can
we need John to buckle down on those overflowing buckets.
Or put his trash cans out there at all, because you can't say it's okay to do for you because your lid closes, but it's not okay to do for you. So
well, you're not talking
about it. Well, for that one, as you guys do that, Nancy, when we send out water bills, can we add something about the requirements for your trash? Because I don't want people to be surprised that we're going to buckle down.
Yeah.
Or however we communicate to our citizens now.
You got it.
We'll have to see what we're very limited.
Or on our email distribution list, yeah, or some type of communication, put on our website in the email distribution list. Y'all got over 1,000 people.
Very seldom our citizens
list. Right.
Well, at least tell them.
You know,
Third Street is Tuesday pickup, right?
Yeah.
Which house is that?
Our Facebook, there you go.
Third Avenue.
Tuesday.
Yeah, so that thing was sitting there till Saturday. Had the phone for it.
Third Avenue.
Copy off. I'll get you the address. Let me see it.
David, do you have anything? Yeah, so Ballhead sent their, whatever Calvin is over there now, I guess they're... What is his?
Town manager.
The town manager? To us to talk. The village manager. Yeah, thank you. So Calvin came and presented and made a request. We didn't have it on our agenda, so we couldn't act on it. He did request we do something before August, however. So what do we want to do something or not?
Right. I'd like to do something, but this is going to have to be rewritten anyway.
Well, no, Nancy has a proposed resolution.
Yeah. I did put together something, and it's pretty much what that says, except for that we reworded it so that we're supporting what they're
saying. Well, so my request is, first I want us to decide if we're in favor of it before we waste any time looking at the verbiage, right? So where is everybody at now, right? So when this came up before, I researched and I was initially really for it, then I was really guessing, now I'm sort of ambivalent. So where's the rest of council on this supporting a resolution to ask the state to not remove the South Dam?
I would tell you that originally I thought I wanted to stomp on that thing. I didn't want anything done until, some information from a few others, and actually a couple citizens asked me that we'd like you to not support it. So I guess I don't feel like I have a dog in the fight, that I understand it totally, but I do know that a few citizens have asked me not to support it, so I guess I don't support it.
Not support the resolution or not support taking?
Not support taking, I mean, no, not support the resolution.
Yeah.
I've heard from several fishermen, and they think it would be a great idea.
To take it down?
To take it down.
So you're saying don't support the resolution?
Don't support the resolution.
I still don't know where I am.
Right.
I mean, I honestly don't. So I understand Ballhead's concern if that gets taken, that the inlet may reopen. But that inlet was there my whole childhood.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Corn Cake Inlet was open my whole childhood. And so if it reopened, it's like that would be no change from what was there from the 60s until 1996.
Did we have a lot of shoaling then that you recall?
Yeah, said at the beginning, that inlet, you could only take a small boat out through, but it was there.
It was fast moving.
And you didn't want to swim across it, I can tell you, because it was screaming through there. Okay. Yeah, so I would say it probably was doing eroding on the north end of Ballhead Island, because it was fast.
And it also moved from,
right,
it would move through down. The years, it moved down, too. So that was another thing.
So, I think your point is right, but I don't know if, that's what I'm saying. I'm ambivalent. If there's not three of you guys in favor, I don't know that we need to go through it.
And I'm still surprised that Calvin could not speak to Michael Lee, because I speak to him. I mean, he calls me back. I don't know why he wouldn't call Calvin back.
Right.
Have you asked the senator why?
From
the standpoint of the inlet being down there, and it was great during my day and your day.
Right.
Fantastic fishing in the bay.
That's it.
The best flounder you ever saw in your life. Right. Great. But it damages the economy of this county by damaging the canal of the ditch going up to the Port of Wilmington.
Yeah, you're talking about the waterway.
Yeah, the water. And that, if we had deep water in there, we would be fantastic. Like Charleston and Savannah, they get the big business, the big bucks, the Japanese industries. Yeah. We're lucky that we're still getting a container ships in here, which by the grace of God, we've just finally gone below 37 feet. But if you start filling up that channel, it becomes to a point where the Corps cannot afford to keep dredging it.
Right.
It's going to be dead.
Right.
Emily, you want to ask me a question? I have talked to both the senators on this bill. And their thinking is, if we do the survey, that it will show that it is not advantageous to take those rocks out. The survey will be advantageous to putting a rock jetty at Moorhead City.
Yeah, but they didn't write the bill. The problem is the way it's written in there is not a survey, or Ballhead wouldn't be.
It says the environmental people will do a study.
And contract to remove the dam. That's what's actually written in the bill.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Right, if they had just said survey and it, Baldhead would, and that's sort of why I'm ambivalent, right? I don't know that I know what's good for us, but I understand Baldhead's concern, and that's why I'm like, if there were two of you guys that were interested in the resolution, I would probably go with you, but if there's not, then okay. And that's why I wanted council to, where are you guys at, right?
I mean, if there's things to be learned, we should go learn them. I mean, like I said in the beginning, I didn't want anything done down there.
Right.
And then some people spoke to me. I don't know if what their position is in the best interest.
That's
nobody
right.
spoke to me and said, you go ahead and support that.
Right.
Well,
right?
I haven't had anybody say support or not support Ballhead, because I think most people here don't even know what Ballhead's doing.
No, I mean,
but just about everybody who's, in fact, well, with one exception, and that was Andy. Everybody who has talked to me about it has said, please don't let them take the wall down, from starting with Skippy Winter all the way to Paul, who runs the ports down there and lives in Curie Beach, that if those one or both of those inlets open up again and start putting sediment back out into the river, we can barely help to pay the feds, the state, all of us, to keep dredging like we have to dredge now. If we have to dredge even more, the cost is going to be prohibitive.
And one of the biggest expenses we have is dredging Ballhead. That is the most expensive thing that I know of, is keeping Ballhead open. And then they want to put in a rock bypass or whatever jetty down there. And I think they got permission, but yeah, just dredging Ballhead, which
you were talking about the outlet of the river?
Yeah, that's
the channel. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The most expensive thing, because it goes back that and you straighten it back out.
Well, so back to the question, are people interested in the resolution or not? Because if we're not, then let's move on. And if we are, then we need to do
let's,
that.
Right? Let's get some information, because nothing should close that port.
So let's who and what kind of information are you looking
for?
I'm not sure who
we... Here's the study.
Yeah, there's the white paper from the Ballhead guy, right?
Okay,
yeah.
I guess I'll read through that.
Yeah.
Has Point Beach and Waterway done any discussion of it?
No. That's a great question.
No.
That would be a good place to get a good
I didn't hear you, Jim. Who did you say?
Ports and Waterways.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a perfect group to say, should we support this or not to.
I thought it was talked about at one of the meetings.
No, they didn't talk about it.
Steve mentioned just a bit. I mentioned it a bit.
Yeah, but it didn't get a lot of discussion. Yeah. They didn't take a position.
What do you think, Steve?
I don't know. Right now, I was in favor of supporting the resolution.
So we're going to study it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so what's the deadline for that?
I will bring it up at
when's the next meeting?
Next meeting's the second Tuesday of next month.
Second Wednesday. They said August was too late, although that's not that long from now. It's 3 weeks. If when you ask them to talk about it, and if their recommendation is we should support the resolution, can you poll the council?
Yeah, I'll do that.
So we can get it in a timely fashion.
I'll send a note to Layton tomorrow to say, Layton, let's get this on here. Let's get a position.
Down. Yeah,
tell the guys.
Curie Beach Town Council is interested in a position on this, for or against, so we know. And then Nancy, you can let Calvin know that. we are requesting information from Porsche Waterwork, and he can push them if he wants to.
Spencer Rogers has to say.
That's all I have, sir.
They don't have.
Okay. I think Spencer would say. Do you have anything?
County.
No, I do not.
In a different county, they're not represented.
Yeah.
The port's in our county, so we should have a good position on if it impacts the dredging of the port, right?
I mean, that's really what it came down to. It said, it's a different county.
There's nothing else.
So there wasn't a lot of discussion about it.
Yeah. There's nothing else come before this council. And have a motion to.
Right here.
Oh, hello.
I just wanted to point out, I finally found it in the code on the garbage carts. It's after sunset the day prior to pickup, and by midnight the day of pickup, it has to come back.
The day of pickup.
So that garbage can that I see out there
is involved.
It's 5 days, yeah.
You can just Monday at 6 p.m.
And Mr. Attorney, I don't see any special citation amount listed in this section, Section 7. So I don't know if there's anything that reverts.
It reverts to the front, the 14
correct.
Something. The civil citation.
Yeah.
I'll ask you that.
Okay.
Is 25, did you say, or 5?
I think our lowest is 25, right?
Right.
Okay.
There's another we need to change.
Yes.
Cooper's is
50. Make the motion we close, sir.
The motion closed. Have a second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.